Lord, bless this word this morning. Make it alive to us and help us to live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Message today is the prayer to be a faithful servant. In Ephesians 6, we've gone over the whole armor of God. We're told to put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand the attack of the enemy. Maybe today you've experienced the attack of the enemy. And God wants us to stand and withstand those evil forces, Satan and his forces. And then having done all, he wants us to stand. End up standing to be victorious. You know, we don't want to be Christians walking around with our heads down and people say, how are you doing? We say, well, we're hanging in there. We want to be victorious. We studied last time about prayer in verse 18, praying always. And he talked about prayer, Paul. We're in this battle. We're soldiers for Christ. We put on the whole armor of God. We go out there, not fearful, but confident, and we pray. And we pray. And we count on the strength of the Lord and the power of his might. And in verse 18, we've gone over praying for others. We read that in verse 18, that we go out with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. And it's good to pray for others. But then today, we see where Paul states in verse 19, and for me, and pray, because he's talking about prayer in verse 18, for the saints. And then he says, and pray for me. A lot of people have a hard time asking people to pray for them. Paul never does. He's not afraid or timid or shy to ask people to pray for him. We see that in the Bible. We're not to be shy or afraid or too proud or to ask other Christians to pray for us. It's okay to ask other people to pray for you. You see, and just to tell you, on the back table, we have a form, prayer request form, to fill out and put in the offering box, and we'll pray for you. You know, Jesus asked for prayer in the garden. Jesus, the Son of God. He took his disciples and he says, stand over here, watch with me. And he's praying and they fell asleep. He says, watch and pray. And we actually studied that in Ephesians. You see, Satan is wily. He's scheming. You know, he might get into your head and whisper, don't ask others to pray for you. Don't tell them your trouble. Don't bother other people. Don't embarrass yourself. They will think less of you or question your faith. You know, the flesh can get like that. When you're in a tough situation, difficult circumstances, it's humbling, isn't it? You know, maybe things aren't working out with the family or financially or physically or all kinds of things going on, or you lose a job or something. It's humbling, isn't it? And it's difficult in the flesh to ask for help for prayer. And that's exactly what God wants you to do, is ask for prayer. Prayer is powerful. It's a great vehicle. Don't listen to the flesh or the enemy. No one's going to question your faith. Well, if they do, they're not a very mature Christian. You know, Christians have problems. They have trouble. You can be doing all the right things and still have things fall apart around you. That's life. It's a test. We want to stand. That's what this book is about. Stand and end up standing and fight off the enemy. And we put on the whole armor of God and we pray. We pray so that we stand, that we get through this. Paul knew how powerful prayer was. Verse 19, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. God answers the prayer of the saints. And it's comforting when you know other people are praying for you, isn't it? It's great to know people are praying for you. It's like, oh, it's God's in it and people are with me, standing with me in prayer. That's how you stand with another person in their trouble. You stand together in prayer. I would encourage you to pick out someone this week to pray for. Could be someone right next to you, someone anywhere. Just pick out someone and pray for them. Pray for them. And if you want, just ask them, what can I pray for you for? Or go and ask someone to pray for you. And don't be afraid to do that. See, Paul was a man of prayer. He was used mightily by God because he was a man of prayer. We see his Bible, his prayers in the Bible for himself and for others. One thing stands out in his prayers. One thing is very clear in the prayers of Paul in the Bible. He prayed for things of the Spirit, for himself and for others, rather than the material. It's up to God to take care of us. It's up to us to be walking in the Spirit. That's what we need to pray for. See, we don't have to work our life out. God says, if you seek me first and my righteousness, I will add all these other things to you, the affairs of life. You need to trust him for that. We need to focus on the spiritual life. We pay a lot of attention to the material and physical, don't we? A lot of attention. We need to pay a lot of attention, a lot more to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. You know, we see Paul always praying for the things of the Spirit. Let's turn to, you know, he did pray in 2 Corinthians 12, if you would like to turn there, 2 Corinthians 12. He did pray for a physical healing at one time. We read that in 2 Corinthians 12, but look what happened. See, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where Paul, you know, entered into this, into paradise, heard inexpressible words, and he said in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted or think too proudly of myself above measure by the abundance of the revelations that God gave me, a thorn in the flesh was given to me," you know, physical affliction of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Satan thought he was going to attack Paul just like he did Job, you know, and he's going to really destroy this guy. And it always turns against Satan, doesn't it? He said, oh, this is going to bring him down. And it did just the opposite because Paul did the right thing. And concerning this thing, verse 8, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And it's okay to pray for healing. But then God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, God gave him the answer and said, you know what? This affliction that you have, Paul, it's going to make you stronger because you're going to realize how weak you are. And you're going to trust in me to take care of you. What a lesson to learn in life, isn't it? If we could learn that early on in life, hey, God will take care of me if I just trust him with my life. And so he says, Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Hey, I take pleasure in all of that because when I am weak, then I am strong. What he's really saying is, I've learned this lesson that when I realize I can't do it, God does. He gets me through. My strength is in the Lord and not in myself. You know, a lot of people say, I'm going to do this if it kills me. And you know what? It usually kills them. It'll bring you to nothing if you undertake your own trouble and try to resolve it. God says, you're weak, I am strong. So Paul got a spiritual victory in praying for the physical. In your trouble, in your tribulation, in your trials, a person either gets bitter or better. Many get bitter at God Many walk away from God. Well, why did God allow this? If God loves me, then why this? And they challenge God and they get bitter, and bitterness will destroy you. It will make you sick. It will ruin your life. But when you can take a trial, a trouble, and through it draw close to God, trust Him, it makes you better. Isn't that wonderful? That must frustrate Satan, doesn't it? Wow, I lost. Look at them. They're victorious. I can't beat this person. He knew the greater victory was a spiritual victory. But let's look at some of Paul's prayers. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Speaking to the church at Ephesus here, he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, so what a great Christians you are, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What was he praying for them for? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling for you, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power." What a prayer. I want you guys to be blessed and understand the will of God and know that all God has for you here and in the hereafter. Wow, that's great. To know what God has for us. That's what I'm praying for, he said. He knew that was more important. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Go ahead to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this church, look what Paul has to say. For Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask," here's what I'm asking God for you, "that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Isn't that a great prayer? Sometimes we can just read over these things and now look at all the words and say, wow, that's what I want. So if you don't know what to pray for someone, look at Ephesians chapter 1 there and Colossians chapter 1 and pray that for someone, and they will be blessed to know the will of the Lord, to be strengthened with his strength. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul praying for himself and the disciples, he said, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified." He says, pray for us that God's word will spread quickly. And boy, did it. Changed the world. So in verse 19, Ephesians 6, Paul says, "Pray for me." What does he pray for? "That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel." If we don't open our mouth, people aren't going to hear the gospel. We have to open our mouth and have the right words to say and to speak the truth so people understand that there's hope. He says, pray that utterance, which means that I might have the right words from God. I'm praying that I might have the right words from God so that I can speak boldly to make the gospel known, the mystery. And as we've covered before, when you see the word mystery in the New Testament like this, the mystery is a truth previously unknown. The church was not known in the Old Testament. People did not know about Jew and Gentile both being able to come to God the Father one way, the same way. The Jews would have never believed that. It was a truth that was not revealed in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And we see that word a lot in the New Testament. The mystery has been revealed. The gospel, the good news that Jew and Gentile, everyone and anyone can come to God through Jesus Christ the Son. And that's called the church, those that believe. Isn't that wonderful? See, God has called us to a special place, the church. We are blessed. We don't really understand it till we get there. We have been blessed because in the history of time in the world, God set apart a group of people that would one day spend eternity with Him in heaven and enjoy the blessings there. And that group of people is called the church. Isn't that wonderful? We have been picked out by God to be there with Him. People, human beings, going to go to be in heaven. That's wonderful. And so he's praying that I can get this across correctly, this mystery, so that people will believe. You know, in his day, many Jews came to the Lord, but many rejected it and him. They crucified Jesus. Now, a Jew would never, they were so prejudiced, they called Gentiles dogs. They would never believe that they could go to heaven and along with the Jews. And that's why Paul prayed, I need to have the right words, God, so that I can share with these people that, even with these Jews, that they can go to heaven. And maybe in your situation, there's people in your family or workplace or friends you have that just will not believe it. This is a good prayer. Just pray verse 19. Lord, give me utterance. Give me the right words and the boldness to open my mouth so that they can truly understand the gospel. That's what people need. People need the gospel. If you could spend 2 minutes with someone before they die, anyone in this world, what would you use that 2 minutes for? I know what I'd use it for if they didn't know the Lord. I'd share the gospel for 2 minutes. That's how important it is. We need to know that. So maybe the door's been closed for you. Maybe it looks like it'll never happen with them. Maybe, you know, they don't accept you at school, at work, wherever you are. Don't shy away. Don't get timid. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Pray, God, give me those words and the truth to share so that they're from you and they're powerful. Don't stay up all night writing your own speech. Then you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to change that. I'm not going to share that. I'm going to share this. Or when you know what I've noticed when you plan your own speeches with people? You go home after you talk with them and say, now, why didn't I share that? Or I forgot to share that. Oh, forgive me, God. And you're kicking yourself. And you're beating yourself on the head because you felt you didn't do a good enough job. But if you're only doing what God told you to do, you'll rest. See, God, you know, the Bible says God's word does not return void. If you stick to this, the Bible, the word of God, the way he's written it, and you share it, and you don't give your own opinion, your own ideas, but if you stick to this, God can then take that word and work in a person's heart. People feel inadequate, say, I can't evangelize. Can you read? And can you talk? Then you can evangelize. Actually, you don't even have to talk, you could write it down. You see, they call them tracts. That's all we need. That's all we need to evangelize. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, go and preach the gospel to all the world. He wouldn't tell us to do that if we couldn't. Isn't the problem boldness? That's why he combines the right words, utterance, and boldness to open up his mouth. I'll admit it's hard at times. The circumstances, you know, in church here, everything's easy, isn't it? We have the greatest faith. We're great evangelists. We can worship the Lord. Walk out of this building and you're in the world. And you're among the enemy. And the attack is on, isn't it? That's why we pray that wherever we are, we can do this. God, give me the words, and not my words, because if I write my speech or my words, then I'll change them tomorrow, or I'll be upset because I didn't share the right thing. What we want to do is share God's word. Paul was so in touch with God, he just was a servant. And says, I'm just your mouthpiece. I'm using my body for you, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say. And he was fruitful because he didn't get in the way. We can get in the way. People think they're not theological enough or smart enough or don't have a degree or didn't go to Bible college. A 10-year-old, I've seen children share with parents and grandparents where they were convicted because the child simply says, Grandpa, why don't you go to church? You see? Little evangelists. Or Jesus loves you, Daddy. Why don't you love him? We've seen that. You've probably all seen that, where a little child can just share the simple truth and bring conviction because it's God's word and it's truth. So don't feel like you can't do it. I can't feel like I can't do it. It's, am I looking at my inhibitions, my personality, my whatever? The problem is my. I need to be looking at God and pray. Paul prayed. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, what did he say about himself? Man, I can't speak. You know, I just can't do this. I just determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what it boils down to. That's what I'm going to spend my life doing, sharing Jesus and him crucified. He says, I didn't come with you with great swelling words or my own intellect. And so Paul, you know, prays for these things that we see in the Bible here. And you notice he didn't pray for, you know, first of all, you need to know this letter was written from prison. Paul's first Roman imprisonment. There are four pastoral epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those four books were written, believed to be written while he was in captivity. Now you notice what he's praying for here. He didn't pray for release or comfort or more food or for God to destroy the Romans. He didn't pray for any of that about himself. I have to admit, when I have a trouble or a difficult situation or something attacks you, my first thought is to pray for deliverance or get out of this, man. Paul didn't do that. Remember with the Philippian jailer? He stayed in jail and they were singing hymns at midnight and the jailer and his family were saved. A person doesn't wake up and say, I'm going to go into the darkest dungeon and share with this jailer today. So God puts you there and he uses you. That's why we have to remember that wherever we are, the Lord is with us and he has us for a reason there. And so he didn't pray for all these comforts and things for himself. He prayed for the right words to share so that he would open his mouth boldly to preach the gospel and make it known to others. And he wanted other people to know that things are actually working out great in his imprisonment. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Go ahead to Philippians chapter 1. Another one of these prison epistles. Philippians 1 verse 9. He prays for this church while in captivity again. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent and you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Again, he's praying for spiritual things for them. That you be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And then he writes, but I want you, because they felt sorry for him. Oh, poor Paul, he's in prison. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me being put here have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that something? He says, and I just want you to know, I'm praying for you, and I'm doing okay. Because God is using me here, and the whole palace guard knows what I'm all about and what I'm sharing here. God brought him in there. And things are working out, you notice, for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why Paul was able to write through the Spirit of God, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, that are the called according to his purpose. We know that God has a plan in our prisons, whatever they may be in life. It might not look it. And we might not even see it if we get bitter and not better. But if we know the Lord is in it and we use those circumstances to present him to people, then it's great. You see? He says it's become evident. I mean, you notice in verse 13 there in Philippians, says it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. He wasn't chained to the Roman guard. Physically he was, but his chains were really in Christ. And he says, the Lord's got me here and he's keeping me here in these chains. It's not the Romans. Isn't that a great outlook on life? We can all leave here today victorious, knowing God's got a plan in it. Not stressed out and anxious. It's awesome. Paul was called to preach the gospel. So he knew that right up front. In Acts 9, you read his conversion. God says, here's what I want you to do, Paul. You're going to preach the gospel. So he knew from that point on, whatever happened, wherever he was to preach the gospel. He didn't know he was going to preach the gospel in a palace, in prison. But he's going to preach the gospel, whatever the circumstances. And maybe today, God has called you and I to do something. We need to do it. Pray as Paul did for boldness, to fulfill our ministry, which God has put us on this earth for, and to bring glory to God and the gospel to people. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We don't change because the circumstances change. We are true to the calling of God. The chains are always in Christ. We might get bound by something physically, materially, emotionally, circumstances, but they're all because we're in Christ and we're there for a reason. Isn't it wonderful to know that? What can be a better prayer than to just pray like Paul prayed? Lord, I want to fulfill the ministry you called me to do. Everyone here is here for a reason. God has you here for a reason. If you don't hand your life over to the Lord and yield to him as Lord, not only Savior, but Lord, and accept the fact that he wants you to do something, and then pray that he reveals to you what it is, and then you go and you do it, no matter where you are or what the circumstances. Unless you do that, you will miss out on life. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. You'll find real life. And we need to fulfill that purpose, or we'll miss out on life. You see, once a person is saved, what's the next best thing the devil can do? Is make you ineffective. You're saved. But he says, but then I don't want you to share that with anybody. I'll make you ineffective. I'll take you out of the game and put you on the bench. Isolation is one way that Satan works. He likes to divide and isolate. He divides and conquers. Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. He isolates Christians. How do we stay connected? Prayer. Praying is the way we stay connected to God. We covered that last week. We keep our mind on God by praying, and we stay connected to other saints by praying for them and them praying for us. That's the connection, you see. It's good to pray for others and have others pray for you. It reminds us of who we are and that God is with us. You know, we are few, but we are strong. When you surround us, we're strong. Paul and his prayers show us how we ought to pray for. You see, he was in prison, and maybe today you feel in prison by the things going on in your life. You don't physically have to be in a prison. A prisoner in a prison can be freer than a person that has everything in this life. We can imprison ourselves or be bound to things. You may feel in prison today. You may be discouraged, depressed, feel in captivity to your circumstances. Pray and ask for prayer. Feel surrounded by the prayer of the saints. Know God is there. Pick a person out today and pray for them, or ask a person to pray for you. Paul knew that the battle would be raging in that prison. See, because you can be out on the street sharing the gospel or in the church sharing and ministering, but then all of a sudden be arrested and taken away from all of this and put in a prison, and probably a person could feel, well, the ministry's done. Because I've been, man, I was doing so great out there, Lord, reaching so many people. Now you've put me in here or in this situation in life. What good am I? I'm bound to this. Seems like for the rest of my life. And you can put yourself in prison. Paul knew that it'd be a little different in prison. But he determined he wasn't going to be different. You see? It's just like the children going into the fiery furnace, Daniel's friends. They said, we don't care if you kill us. Throw us in the oven. We're not going to bow down. They didn't perish, did they? Because the Lord was with them. You're not going to perish. I'm not going to perish unless it's time for you to go home and praise the Lord. You wouldn't need any more sleep. You'd be with the Lord. Wouldn't need to eat. Sometimes I think, you know what would be nice in heaven? If you could eat all you want and never gain a pound. Wouldn't that be awesome? The point is, we're not going to have to eat. So we're not going to enjoy that. Better enjoy it here. But you'll just be in a perfect place. So what can man do unto us? You see, he knew that he needed support. He needed help. Because the thing that does happen when you're put in certain circumstances or in prison is you're isolated. So you need support. And you need support in whatever you're going through. Because Satan can get you feeling no one cares. No one even is concerned. Or no one can do anything to help. Well, they probably can't, but God can. You see, God's got all power, and his riches are nothing to God. He can do anything. You might need help. But Paul knew that he needed help, so he prayed. And then he's going to share later on to pray for him, and he talks about the family of God and letting them know what's going on, because it's good to share with people. In Exodus chapter 17, if you would like to turn there, Exodus 17, verse 8. This is a story about Moses heading out into the wilderness. The people have been delivered from Egypt. You know, and the story of Israel and their exodus and journey to the promised land is really a picture of the Christian in a new life. Being delivered from sin, bondage in Egypt, taken to the promised land, but there's battles in between. And there was for Israel. And here's one of them in the wilderness. Exodus 17, verse 8. Now Amalek, their enemy, was against Israel, fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Have you seen that movie, The Ten Commandments, that rod of God in his hand? You know, he's touched the water and it parts and all of that. Can you picture him on top of the mountain with the rod of God in his hand, watching this battle going on? So Joshua did as Moses set him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses, a man of God, with the rod of God in his hand, still needed support. A picture of the church today. We're all part of one body and we need support. Can you picture that? These two guys, you know, they're noticing, hey, he keeps his hand up with that rod. We're winning. He gets there and brings it down. Oh, we're losing. What's the key? His hand up representing God. So one gets under one hand, one gets under the other hand, and they hold him up, and they win. That's what's needed, support. We need support. Paul was called to preach the gospel, to get it out. So he asked for prayer. He says, I need your help. I need your prayer. He knew what he was to do. Verse 20, back to Ephesians 6. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. I ask for prayer that you will give me the right words to share and that I'll open my mouth boldly and to preach the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. I'm in chains, but I'm still an ambassador. That in these chains, I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Sometimes when we let circumstances overcome us, we get timid and we don't go to church or we don't read the Bible or we don't pray. And we change or we're less effective. And that's exactly what Satan wants. We should be all the stronger in the Lord in our trouble. You see? And we can get so well off that we think, I don't need church or prayer anymore. My life's cool now. We don't want to do that either. We always need support. We always need prayer to fulfill the ministry that God has called us to do on this earth. We must do that. He says, I'm an ambassador in chains. You know this? You notice, but he's still an ambassador. You and I are soldiers for Christ, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. We're still soldiers for Christ. And actually it tells us in the Bible we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the Lord. If you want your life to be meaningful, I notice now a lot of kids that go to college or come out of college start a nonprofit. They want to feel like they want to do something with their life while they're here. So you see a lot of nonprofits starting up. And actually, even in high school, they start because when you put that on your resume and applying for college, colleges are impressed with that you've been involved in a lot and you've been involved in a nonprofit, you've started a nonprofit, and they like that. They see that you care about contributing, and then the college gets credit for you contributing out in the world. And so, you know, they're sort of ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. And we want to go out into the world and live the life that God has for us, fulfill our ministry, so that we do something with our life while we're here. These kids are wanting to do something with their life while they're here to make life better. Well, the best way to make life better is, guess what? Sharing the gospel. Did you notice there's a lot of trouble out in the world and in our country today? Do you believe it's morally decayed now? Polluted? Guess what the answer is? God. We're in a godless society. They create programs. They're putting band-aids on everything. That's all it is band-aids. What's the answer? We have it. If you want to do something with your life while you're here, if you want to contribute to society, then preach the gospel and live it. Because we can't change everything. We can't change people, but God can. And so if we share the gospel with them and pray for them, God can change them. And that's what we do. See, we can create change by people changing from hearing the gospel. It's the only way it's going to happen. Because they need the Prince of Peace. We need to remember we're ambassadors. And we need to be faithful, a faithful servant. Even in chains, Paul was an ambassador. You know, he wasn't living in a beautiful hotel. Our ambassadors today, they go over to another country. And guess how they live? They live pretty good. Paul wasn't in this great hotel, five-star hotel with a pool. You know, he wasn't in this great place. He was imprisoned, but still an ambassador. You in your situation, which might not seem too good to you right now, you're still an ambassador for Christ. The calling doesn't change. Don't let the circumstances change you or me. We can't do that. We have to be true to what we're here for. And if you don't know why you're here, then pray and ask God to help you. Are you shy? Are you inhibited? Are you fearful? Are you withdrawn? Then pray Paul's prayer in verse 19 and 20. He says in 20 also, I'm an ambassador, so pray that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, when a representative of our country is taken captive, we want him to remain a faithful ambassador and not change and give in to that country. So they need prayer. And we're representing Christ. When our circumstances change, we're still representing the Lord. And we've got to remember that, no matter what happens in our life. There are people that say, well, when things get better in my life, then I'm going to serve the Lord. Or when I have enough money, then I'll serve the Lord. When I have more time, I'll serve the Lord. What's wrong with today? What does it say in the Bible that first you have to accumulate all of this or be this at this certain position before you can fulfill your call of the Lord upon your life? God called Jeremiah while he was still in the womb, it says. Our calling is by God. He already knows what that is, even before we're born. It's just a matter of us praying and asking God to reveal it and then fulfilling it. Life isn't in the process of achieving it. Life is living it right away, living it. And Paul knew that. And he wants to share that with others. Verse 21, he says, but that you may also know my affairs. He says, so that you'll know what's going on with me and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Paul has no problem with other believers knowing what's going on in his life. He says, just so you know what's going on here, what's going on in my life, I'm sending Tychicus this. And you notice a beloved brother. Hey, he's a great Christian. And a faithful minister in the Lord. He can trust this guy because he's a faithful minister in the Lord. He doesn't have his own agenda. He's a support. He's on the team. And he's a help to other people. He says, he'll let you know the affairs of my life. Why? So you can pray properly. People can't pray properly for you unless they know what's going on in your life. You see, if someone comes up to you and says, well, what can I pray for? Say, that rotten son of mine that's walked away from the Lord and is causing me pain in my life, please save him. Don't say, well, everything's okay. Things are fine. I'm getting through it. Be real. There's all kinds of things going on in our life. It's not a reflection of us that we failed. Everybody has their own choice in life. They want to follow the Lord or not follow the Lord. That's their choice. We don't need to feel embarrassed or shy or bad about things in our life. We need to conquer them by praying for them. One another, praying for one another. Did you ever have prayer for you and it worked out? Isn't that a great feeling? Then pray. And Paul says, I'm going to let you know how it's going so you can pray for me. He trusts this guy. He doesn't want them to worry. Verse 22, whom I sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. He says, that's the reason I'm sending him to you, so that you'll know the affairs of my life, what's going on here, and so that it'll comfort you, that you'll know, hey, I'm being used by God. I can be in a horrible situation and still be used mightily by God. And that's a great testimony, isn't it? People think my testimony has to be, oh, I'm doing so great in the Lord, and I got this great ministry. That's not a testimony. That's just fulfilling God's call upon your life. The testimony of a personal life is through the fire, through the trouble, through the trial, you're still remaining a faithful mom, a faithful dad, a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a godly worker, serving at the church, reading the Bible, praying, interceding for other people. That's what counts, you see. And through that, all I'm doing, I'm really going through it physically, and we're having financial problems, and I've got some rebellious children, but that's my life, and I'm getting through it with the prayer support and the help of God. And we don't have to feel, well, no, because I'm failing in some areas, you know, people are going to think I'm not a good Christian. No, not at all. That really testifies to me when I hear people with all this trouble standing for God, standing firm and not getting bitter. You say, wow. There's a soldier for Christ. They're standing with the Lord, and I know what they're going through. When you walk into a hospital room sometime, people, they're going through a lot. Some people are really going through a lot. And you're praying up front, what can I don't even know what to share with them. What can I possibly read to them? I don't want to walk in and say, well, cheer up, God's in this. They're going to say, please get out of here. You know, you better know the right words to share. Because when people are hurting, people are hurting. And it says to weep with those that weep and to rejoice with those that rejoice. And sometimes you just need to be there or just pray. But what's interesting is when you walk into a hospital room and you're expecting the worst, and that person's sitting up on their bed and saying, praise the Lord, isn't God good? You say, oh, they're better than me. They're taking what they're going through and they're praising the Lord. They have nothing. They're stuck in this bed. And I have everything and I'm complaining. You see what the real thing is? Being a faithful ambassador in your prison at all times. Not, well, if this changes, then I'll be a better Christian, or I'll be a better wife, or I'll be a better husband. What's wrong with today? What's wrong with today? Obeying the word of God and fulfilling your call upon your life. He's going to make all things known to you. He doesn't want him to worry. Verse 23, he ends with this for the believers. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want to leave you with peace. I pray for peace for you. Peace and love with faith. Isn't that an interesting term? I never heard that before. I read this book so many times. I was reading it this week. I says, love with faith. What is that? Only if you have faith can you have real love. It's real. You know, you have peace and love and with faith. If I have faith, I have peace. If I have faith, I have real love. You see, I can fool people. Oh, I love you. My heart goes out to you. I know what you're going through. Well, that's probably a lie. I'm just saying it. But if it's with faith and God has changed my heart because he's my Lord and he's put the love of God in my heart, because of my faith, I can have real love. And it shows. You see, it'll show to other people. And he prays that for these people, peace and love and faith, which can only come from God. And then he says, grace be with all those. And here, grace with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And that all of these words mean something. And he says, amen. Because there's people that can say, I love the Lord. And cut somebody off on a freeway. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It's true. It's real. You don't have to fake it that I'm a Christian. Because grace can only come to those who love Jesus Christ in sincerity, that are truly in love with him and are born again. That's the ones that get grace applied to their life. When you're truly born again, then the grace of God has forgiven you of your sin, and your sin is washed away. All these things we have in Jesus Christ. How blessed we are. Let's close with this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:15. We shared this Wednesday night. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. We can't describe him. It's unspeakable how much we have in him. And we thank God this week and every day for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you've given us the privilege of sharing this indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, we've learned on prayer today how important it is to pray for others, pray to you, pray for ourselves. Lord, prayer is powerful. It keeps us connected. Lord, we are one body. We have one Father, one Lord. I pray that we would understand that. That we would be there for one another. I pray, Lord, that we would have a love for you and for the saints, all the saints. And Lord, I pray that today you would give each of us wisdom from above to know what our calling is from you. And I pray that no one misses out in life on what you've planned for them here, but all would attain it. And I pray, Lord, that we would ask for help and be ready to receive it from you. Make us ready to ask for prayer and not feel embarrassed. And let us receive prayer as we pray for others. And Lord, give us boldness and the words to share so that we can present the gospel properly, so that you can work through those words in our mouth and lead people to you. How wonderful it would be and will be to walk in heaven and come across someone that we've shared the gospel with. Lord, what could be greater than that? So let these words and these prayers be written on the tablet of our heart, and let us use them each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.